judgment of his mouth. Oh, receive the favor now of his servant, the children of Jacob.
He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to 1,000 generations. Now, if you've been here the last 3 Wednesday nights as we've been studying this psalm, you know he begins here in verse number 8, particularly verse number 9. He begins at Abraham. He's going to begin to recall a history of the people of God of the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. We preached down through many of these. Let's jump down to where we left off last week for sake of time. And we'll get you caught up here in just a moment. But look with me in verse number 25. Verse 25. He turned, that is the Lord, he turned there, that is Egypt's heart, to hate his people. God turned their heart to hate his people. And we'll want to deal with that for a moment tonight, if the Lord will help us to deal subtly with his servants. He sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. They showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. He sent darkness and made it dark. They rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance in the chambers of their king. He spake, and there came diverse sorts of flies and lice in all their coasts. He gave them hail for rain and flaming fire in their land. He smote their vines also and their fig trees and brake the trees of their coasts. He spake, and the locust came, and caterpillars, and that without number, and did eat up all the herbs in the land, and devoured the fruit of their ground. He smote also the firstborn in their land, the chief of all their strength. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. He spread a cloud for a covering and fire to give light in the night. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven. He opened the rock, and the waters gushed out. They ran in the dry places like a river. For he remembered his holy promise and Abraham his servant. He brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness, and gave them the lands of the heathen, and they inherited the labor of the people, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. This psalm ends the way that the previous psalm ended, and how the next psalm is going to begin, praise ye the Lord. All right, you can be seated. Heavenly Father, tonight we come before you. We are so thankful tonight for the privilege to enter in the house of the Lord. We know tonight, Lord, in this place are a lot of needs and burdens, some we know of, and Lord, others we know nothing about. But Lord, we're glad tonight that our God knows all things. Lord, we're asking you this evening in the lovely name of our Savior and your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that you'd hear our prayer and our plea tonight as we desire mercies and help from the God of heaven. Lord, we know tonight, Lord, that you're interested in your people. Lord, I pray that we, your people, would be interested in you. May there be a spark within us tonight, Lord, to want to be attentive, and Lord, to hear about what our God is able to do, has done, and Lord, to do in days to come. Lord, I pray the church would be encouraged tonight, Lord, not through a man or a personality, but through the principles of the Word of God. Lord, I pray we'd be able to cling to these things we'll study tonight. And Lord, know that our God is for us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Lord, tonight I pray that you'd arrange the atmosphere, give us liberty to preach, liberty to hear what thus saith the Spirit of the Lord. And all that you do, we'll bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've made mention before, just kind of getting our feet on the ground tonight and get us caught back up, that this psalm, that particularly the first 15 verses, is the first half of David's psalm, written at the time of that, the return of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. And you'll read that particularly in 1 Chronicles 16, verses 7 through 22. And that makes this, or at least this portion of this psalm, some say that it is a psalm that has been compiled by several different psalms, but we have no trouble embracing the fact that David is the author indeed of this psalm. In verses 1 through 7, as this psalm begins and opens up, David gives a call to the people of God. And this call involves a call to rejoice, verses 1 through 3, a call to request by means of prayer and calling upon God. You cross-reference that with verse number 1. There is a call in verse number 5 to remember that our God is on the throne, and that we are to remember Him and all the marvelous works that He hath done, all His wonders and the judgments even of His mouth, to be amazed, to remember and be sparked to amazement by the works and the words of our God. And then in verses 6 and 7, we have a call to recognize, and that is to acknowledge that our God is the Lord and that He is the one that is ruling and reigning. And so the theme of this psalm is to commemorate the faithfulness of God toward Israel. And it does that by spanning many centuries of their history, from that of Abraham and the days of Abraham to the entering in of the promised land, which would bring us to the days of Joshua. We understand that this psalm, as we're studying it, it's not only about, and it is in particular, God's faithfulness to Israel, but it stands as a reminder and testimony to all God's people of God's hand in our life, even to the generation we're living in. Amen. For our God is the same tonight. And I understand we can't take the promises and the covenants God made to Israel and apply them to us, but our God is the same in the sense of who He is and how He cares for us and how He is faithful to us even in this generation. Amen. I'm reminded of what the Psalms in particular and other places in the Word of God declares over and over and over again. And the mercy of the Lord endures to all generations. And that would include us tonight. Somebody ought to say, man, right there, that our God is a faithful God. And so we're dealing with the subject of God's hand in man's history. God's hand in man's history. How God is at work, how God has been faithful to you and to me, and how God is working in the lives of His children. An overview of this psalm shows that the Lord has been faithful in many ways. If you want to write these down, this is my meditation the last couple days on this psalm, getting ready. I'll just give it to you. It's kind of an overview, I think, of the whole psalm, but the Lord was faithful in the places they journeyed. What we have when we study this psalm, it begins with the days of Abraham. And Abraham is in the land of the land of Ur in that place of the land of the Chaldees. It takes us from the Ur to that time of the Canaan wanderings of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. And then from those wandering lands, we find the children of God in the land of Egypt or the land of Ham. They then are found in this psalm to be wandering through the wilderness, and God is feeding them and giving them water out of a rock. And then this psalm ends with them inheriting the land and settling down in that land of promise. And so what we find is that they're on a journey that is going to carry them to a lot of places. Amen. And may I say tonight, God was faithful in every place that they journeyed. Every path that, amen, they journeyed, whether in the will of God or out of the will of God, God was there being faithful to them. Amen. In every place that they journeyed, He was faithful in the problems they encountered. As Psalm has, if we read it in its entirety, you understand, amen, that there are certain times in Israel's history, amen, from the very early days of Abraham to their time in Egypt, to their time in the wilderness wandering, when they're hungry and they're thirsty, and the times, no doubt, amen, when they crossed the Jordan River and went into the land of Canaan, there is in the details of the history many problems. that they encountered. What does this psalm declare, though? It declares that God was faithful in every problem they encountered. Amen. Can I say that's our God tonight? And He'll be faithful in the places that we journey. He'll be faithful in the problems we encounter. Amen. He was faithful. I worded it this way, in the propensities that they manifested. Amen. When we read about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and you read about men like Moses had, and we all know about the generation that, amen, went to Kadesh Barnea and rejected the will of God to go into Canaan, and how they had to wander for 40 years. And what we learn in this text and this psalm is that the people of God had a propensity, amen, to do some very silly things, sinful things, and had a propensity so many times over and over and over to get themselves in some kind of mess and out of sorts with God. Amen. Hey, don't get too critical of them. I know some of y'all pretty good, and I know me real well. Amen. And we have propensities that, amen, where we walk in the flesh, and we know we ought not to. But, amen, I'm glad even in those times that our God is a faithful God. Amen. My unfaithfulness will not deter Him being a faithful God. And we made mention of that. We've not made it, obviously, to Psalm 106 yet. Amen. This Psalm 105 said God is faithful. Psalm 106 said man is very unfaithful. But, amen, I'm glad before we're unfaithful, our God has settled it. Amen. He will be faithful even in the propensities, amen, that they manifested. I thought about them, you know. Amen. They were so prone, Brother Tim, to have a lack of faith. They were so prone at times to grumble and complain. They were so prone at times to murmur against God. Amen. Does this sound like anybody y'all know? Amen. Does it sound like the man or the woman you looked at in the mirror before you come? Amen. They were so prone to be divided and quarrel among themselves. Amen. And there's so much about, amen, their propensities and their failures and their weaknesses that, amen, are mirrored to our very own, even in this dispensation of time. Amen. But I'm glad we come through this psalm that, amen, we can learn that our God will still be faithful. Amen. Boy, I'd really like to cut loose and preach there for a little while. Amen. That won't mean much to you if you think you got it all nailed down. Amen. You've always made every decision in the will of God. You've always walked in the light. Amen. You ain't ever committed any sin. Amen. That won't mean much to you. Amen. But buddies, the rest of us said, amen, have had faults and have had failures along the way. Have had to be grown since we got saved in the grace and the nurture and the admonition and the knowledge of what it is to be a Christian. Amen. You know what? I'm glad. Hey, y'all listen to this verse in the New Testament. Amen. Amen. 1 John said, if a man say he had no sin, that man's a liar, and the truth is not in him. And so John said, we all still have, amen, propensities to doubt, amen, to grumble, to murmur, to complain, to get ourselves in a bad situation. Amen. But John also followed that by saying, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. That verse ain't in context to the drunk on the bar stool. Amen. That's the Baptist sitting on the pew tonight. Amen. That when we walk in our, amen, our weakness of our flesh, that does not mean that God is unfaithful. Amen. And so he was faithful in the places they journeyed, the problems they encountered, and the propensities they manifested. And so the whole idea of the psalm is, amen, revealing that the way in which God's hand was in the history of his people. And a lot of things we can derive from this tonight. Amen. As we've been working our way through verses beginning in verse number 8 down through the end of this psalm. And so we've said, number one, the Lord, amen, we see his hand in man's history, his people's history. Amen. In that the Lord found them. Verses 8 through 11. It was the Lord that came, called, covenanted, and confirmed them. Amen. They didn't find him. He found them. And we're thankful, amen, when we look back at God's hand in our lives. Amen. Back in our history, it was the Lord that found us. Amen. We looked at verses 12 through 15. The Lord fenced them. Amen. God's hand in their history, we see, it was the Lord that watched over and kept them safe. Amen. They couldn't have kept themselves safe. Amen. They could not. Amen. Protected themselves. Amen. Were it not for the hand of God hedging them about. Amen. They'd have been wiped out before they barely even got started. Amen. David said he fenced them when they were small. Verse 12, when they were strangers. Verse 12 and 13. Amen. But he fenced them when they were stupid, silly, and sinful. Amen. Verses 14 and verses number 15. Amen. And boy, I'd love to preach that again. The Lord not only found them and the Lord fenced them, but the Lord favored them. And we preached verses 16 through 24. On last Wednesday night. Amen. You see, it was the Lord, the Bible said in verse 24. Amen. That increased his people greatly. Amen. It was the Lord that made them stronger than their enemies. Amen. And so the Lord favored them. He bestowed his blessing. Amen. He made them both productive and powerful. Amen. In the way in which he blessed their life. And we looked at the providence in his favor that, amen, before they ever landed back down in Egypt and before the famine came, amen, the Bible said he sent a man, verse number 16 and 17, amen, he prepared the way. We looked in the place of his favor in verse 23, amen, it was there while they were in Egypt, amen, and we're going to deal with that tonight, amen, about another side of that coin. It was in the land of heathenism. And in the midst of pagans and God deniers and wicked men, it was there God put his blessing upon their life. Amen. And I'm glad in the world in which we live, amen, a wicked land, a heathen land, I'm thankful, amen, that God knows how to communicate his blessings in favor to our life. Amen. We looked at the process into his favor. Amen. For the Bible said that all the is hinged on until the time. Amen. Until the time. Joseph had to go through some things until the time. Amen. The world was going through a famine until the time. Amen. There was a divinely appointed time in which, amen, God through a process would, amen, lead them into his favor. Amen. It involved pain. It involved purification. It involved promotion. Amen. That is, of others promoting Joseph, not himself. And it involved prudence. That was, God had to teach Joseph some things. Amen. Through all the hardships he went through, so when he got to the favor, amen, he would be able to walk wisely, amen, in the favor of God in his life. Amen. I'm glad God knows how to favor us. And if we look back, amen, if you're saved tonight, you can say, praise God, the Lord found me. And praise God, it's been the Lord that fenced me. And it's been the Lord that has favored me all along life's way. Amen. And so that brings us to verse 25. Through verse 38, at least we want to get to this tonight. Amen. And we'll say tonight, the Lord freed them. Amen. He freed his people. Amen. For when we pick up in verse number 25. Amen. What we find is that these verses still have us in that time of Israel being in Egypt. But now they're not existing alongside the Egyptians as something has arisen. There is a Pharaoh that has arisen and knew not Joseph. And the Egyptians began to look upon the people of God. And it wasn't just the people of God that was cognizant and aware, amen, that God was favoring their life and being good to their life and growing them and strengthening them and increasing them greatly. The Egyptians looked on with great envy and looked on with great fear and with great dread. And the Egyptians said within and among themselves, amen, we're going to have to do something about this. We can't let this crowd overrun our system. Amen, they're going to outnumber us one of these days soon. And if we're not careful, there'll be another enemy that'll rise up against us. And the people of God will side with them, and they will wipe us out. And so the Egyptians, amen, because God had been good to the Israelites, amen, began to hate the people of God. Amen, we know the story now that, amen, it is while in Egypt, amen, the children of Israel come through this time of favor. Now Egypt, a picture of the world, amen, is going to do all they can, amen, to make it hard on the people of God. In fact, these worldlings despised what God was doing in Israel and sought to shut it down by any means they could. But what we're going to learn in these verses, amen, is that God would be faithful, amen, to liberate His own, amen, from that worldly system, from that bondage they sought to put the people of God in, amen, the influence they sought, the power they tried to exalt over the people of God. It would be God who would be faithful to intervene and break the chains and end the slavery, amen, and let His children walk straight out of Egypt, amen, liberated and freed from, amen, all that it bound them. Amen. I'm glad tonight in this world in which we live, and by the way, I would remind you, amen, if you've been freed and you've been fenced and you've been favored and you're saved tonight and you're trying to live for God, amen, this world hates your guts. Amen. You say, oh, the world don't hate me. I get along real good with the world. Amen. Well, my friend, you may be telling on yourself tonight. Amen. We ain't been called to sing kumbaya with this world. We've not been called to hold their hand and get along. Amen. We're the people of God who have been found. Amen. That God has fenced and God has favored. Amen. And we ought to live in such a way that the world would despise our very life. Amen. That's exactly right. Amen. That's why Paul said, amen, in the world and the system in which we're living, yea. Now y'all have to choke this down. I know it's Wednesday. It's going to get real good here in a minute. Amen. But Paul said, yea, and all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. This world ain't supposed to like you. This world's supposed to look at your life, amen, and because in the system they're attached to, amen, because in the worldly desires and the lust, amen, and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes and the lust of flesh that they live in, that your life, amen, is to be a testimony of condemnation to, amen. They are supposed to despise you. I'll be honest with you today, and I think many of Christians in their day, amen, have reached a point of carnality, amen, and professing Christians, may I say, amen, whether they're saved or not, that's between them and God, amen, but there has been the depths of carnality that has been reached, amen, whereby the world is absolutely comfortable to be around so-called Christians anymore. Y'all need to understand that ain't the Christianity of God's Word. Amen. We've dumbed it down. We've watered it down. My friend, the world, amen, the world, it seems like, amen, can just fit right in with the church, and the church can fit right in with the world, and there's no distinction, and there's no lines that have been drawn, amen, and what we need to understand is, amen, if you're saved and sanctified, or at least trying to be, amen, this world is going to do all they can to bring you into some sort of bondage. That's what all the billboards up and down the road are trying to do. Amen. That's what the commercials are designed to do. Amen. That's what all the internet ads are designed to do, to get you to think in a worldly way, to, amen, to look at things the way the world looks at things. And my friend, we're watching in these days an entire generation, amen, being gobbled up and swallowed into a worldly way of thinking. Amen. But thank God, there's some people of God that, amen, can lean in on the faithfulness of God and say, amen, were it not for God and His faithfulness and His grace, amen, we'd have been remained in bondage to this world. God was going to be faithful to set them free. And can I say, amen, when I look back over my life, amen, I can testify the Lord is faithful to give liberty and freedom to His children. Amen. Not to walk, amen, as they are of this world, but have friend to walk in that newness of life. Amen. That's good preaching, Pastor. Throw the plow down. Preach a while. Amen. The Lord freed them. Can I say tonight? Amen. In this day, in this hour in which, amen, you have all these crazy ideas about deliverance ministry, deliverance preaching. Amen. There's a group that is out there called the New Apostolic Reformation. And they run around trying to cast out demons. They see demons in every pew. And demons in bushes and demons in every door. Amen. Everything's got a demon in it. If you do something wrong, you think, it ain't your own wicked flesh and lust. Amen. It's some demon that you got to be delivered from. These all kinds of crazy ideas about deliverance going on in our day. Amen. And they're out there. Amen. And we could call names tonight. Amen. Men I used to preach with it. Amen. That have gone stark mad and crazy. Amen. In ideas and doctrines of devils. Amen. And they'll say, well, you don't believe there's demons. I believe there are demons. They'll say, well, you don't believe demons possess people. I have seen that and have had to minister to people with that. I'd go a step further. I think I've probably been a pastor to one or two of them in 25 years. Somebody say amen. Amen. But I believe today, amen, that when it comes to walking in liberty, here's what the Apostle Paul said, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. I don't need Greg Locke to come say Jesus' name over me, amen, 1,500 times and set me free. Amen. All I need to do is walk in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Live my life filled with that book. Amen. Let God work in my life the way that God has designed and desires for a child of God to live. Amen. And I'm telling you, God will be faithful to free his people. Say, preacher, I got this going on, a temptation I keep falling prey to. Hey man, I'm here to tell you tonight, God is faithful. Hey man, oh, hey man, is that not what the New Testament said? I know I ain't gonna finish this now, I'm done bogged out. Hey man, but I'm glad the New Testament said, hey man, that with every temptation that, hey man, has taken us, it's all common to man. My friend, the fact remains, God is faithful to make a way of escape. Amen. If we keep falling in the same thing over and over and over, it is an indictment of our own unfaithfulness. Amen. Not God's. God is faithful. Amen. And we need some folk that have begun to look to God for the freedom he desires for his children to live in. Amen. I'm bogged down bad, so let me just park here a minute, Brother Mike. This generation talks about, well, I'm going to have freedom to do my own thing. And then they don't walk in freedom, they walk in bondage. I don't want mom and dad telling me what to do. But then they let the world tell them what to do. Amen. I don't want no preacher telling me how to live. And then they go sit down in front of a TV and let the world tell them how to live. Oh, I'm preaching on a Wednesday night. Hey man, listen, they don't even understand. Hey man, the doctrine of walking in liberty. Hey man, oh, we have liberty. Hey man, I can do all that I want to do. Hey man, I can live any way I want to live. Hey man, I'm living the way I want to live tonight. Hey man, because my God has freed me from this world and its system. I'm in it. I ain't of it anymore. I don't want to be of it anymore. The longer I'm saved, I look at this world and I go, they are crazy.
Amen.
The longer I'm saved and live, Brother Tim, I look at the way that they, I listen to what they say. I watch the way they live and I go, you people have lost your ever-loving God-given mind. I don't want to be identified with that. I don't want what comes with that kind of life. You young folk need to listen to the man of God tonight. Hey man, because the world, they're presenting a picture to you and it's false. It's false advertisement. Hey man, and the day's going to come when you're going to grow up and you're going to look back and you're going to look around and you're going to say, this world's stupid. Amen. Listen, we all are battling the world tonight. The world system. We all have a struggle in setting our affection on things above, not on things below. From the one that's been saved the fewest days to the most days in the building. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, God is faithful to free us from those earthly ambitions and those earthly passions and those earthly entanglements. He's faithful. Let me draw some things out tonight. I gotta hurry. Amen. Boy, y'all are easy preached to tonight. I love y'all. If I told y'all that lately, I love my church. Amen. Number one, look with me at the destructive contention. Verse 25. The Bible said, and he turned their heart to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. When we consider this, we must understand that in this verse, God allowed the Egyptians to treat his people wrong so that he could exercise his own purpose and get them out of the land of Ham. I like how Matthew Henry put this. I may not get it word for word right. I didn't write it down. I tried to etch it in my mind and in my heart. But he said something to this effect. We must understand about this verse. that the Lord is not the author of mankind's sin. Amen. God was not the author of their hatred. He was not the author of their deception and subtlety. He was not the author of all that wickedness that was going on. Matthew Henry said what God did, amen, was use it for his own purpose. Amen. You see, God knew Egypt was not their land. Amen. God knew that Canaan was their land. Amen. And God may have, listen, God may have favored them in Egypt's land. Amen. But God knew the day was going to come. Amen. That Egypt couldn't have any more pull on them. Amen. He knew the day was going to come that, amen, he was going to have to lead them out and get them into the land of promise. That type of the spirit-filled life, that type of victorious Christian living, that place that is the will of God for every man, woman, boy, and girl that Christ is ever saved to, amen, understand there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Amen, that is, that walking and abiding in Christ, that, amen, experiencing the joy and the blessings that, amen, are beyond just what are common to man, but amen, that God bestows on those that sell out and go all the way and get over the Jordan into the land of Canaan. And so the Lord, what is the Lord doing? The Lord is allowing the Egyptians to use their own hatefulness, their own sinfulness, their own wicked ways, and use that against his people to get his people to a place where they began to turn to God to set them free from that land. You know what it does to me when I hear the world talk about the church the way they do? And you know what it does to me when I see worldlings treat the church and God's people the way that they do so abundantly in these days? Amen. And by the way, Jesus said, marvel not that the world hates you. They hated our Savior. They gonna hate every child of God that tries to live their life like Jesus. See, that's the silliness of this mentality going around in our day. Well, you know, if we're all like Jesus, everybody will love us and everything. Show me that in the Word of God. You do understand they nailed him. They hated him so much that they betrayed him and smote him and spat on him and nailed him to a cross. Amen. And so there is this contention that begins to arise. God wants to get them out of the land of Ham. Amen. He wants to bring them into the land of promise. Amen. Into a greater land, a land flowing with milk and with honey, a land of corn and wine, a land that God had grown especially for his children. So he allows this contention to creep up. Amen. And it got so great between the people of God and Egypt that they bound them and began to kill their male babies. Amen. What a sad time it was in the history of Israel, those hundreds of years that they were in the land, the time that they had to endure of being in bondage. Amen. It broke their heart. It broke their will. And I tell you what it did, Brother Mo. Amen. It turned their eyes to the Lord. Amen. They began to weep and they began to cry. Amen. They began to seek God again. And in fact, when God came to Moses there in the wilderness of Sinai, amen, God said to Moses, you go back and you tell my people, I have heard their cry by reason of their affliction. You see, the harder it got on them in Egypt, the more their eyes were drawn to God and they got a bigger desire. Hey, man, we want to get out of here. And I say the contention rises in our day. The laws that are being passed. Amen. The ways that politicians have the spirit of Antichrist upon them to pass legislation. My friend, and you listen, you got your head in the sand. If you don't think the things that are going on in Canada ain't making their way southward tonight. Pastors being imprisoned for simply standing up and saying, God said in His Word, this transgender mess is sin. And they have passed laws trying to make a hardship. My friend, I'm convinced that Christianity in America, amen, we've got lackadaisical in the favor and the blessings of God. Amen, we've reached a point where we've had a lukewarmness. Amen, and I'm praying that in these days in which we live, amen, I'm praying two or three things specifically. Amen, even so, come, Lord Jesus, get us out of this mess. Amen, I'm praying that God would do something. Amen, for all my family members that are either not saved or not right with God. And then I'm praying, Lord, during these days, say, amen, if we got to stay in this mess for a little while, and Lord, if it gets as bad as it looks like it's going to get, would you cause a revival to fall upon the church to seek your face again? Amen. Why? Because in this destructive contention, it was God providentially taking what was already in the heart of the Egyptians, and God was using it to drive His children to seek His face one more time. And I say this is how He's going to free them. He used a destructive contention. Notice with me number two, the divine confrontation. I got to hurry. Amen. The divine confrontation. Amen. I love verses 26 through 36. For here we have several things that are mentioned that God Himself did in providing freedom to His people from this Egyptian system. Notice with me the servants God sent in verse 26. Amen. Read it with me again. He sent Moses, His servant, and Aaron, whom He had chosen. And so God said, if I'm going to get them out of here, I got to send them Moses and I got to send them Aaron. Now, let me say this this evening, I think in these two men, there are pictures for you and I of elements that God uses to bring us into spiritual liberation. Amen. Freedom from this world system. Freedom to walk in newness of life. Amen. Notice with me Moses. Who is Moses? Moses was their lawgiver and their chief magistrate. This speaks to me in our dispensation of time, Brother Riley, of lordship. Amen. If we're going to have freedom from our God, from this world and its system, we must, amen, submit to the lordship that Christ has sent into our life.
Amen. That's right.
We've got to follow the lawgiver. We got to follow our chief magistrate. Is that making sense? Hey man, how are they going to get out? They got to follow Moses. They got to trust that Moses is leading them in the right way. And by the way, he did. Amen. And can I say tonight, amen, if we're not going to walk in lordship, amen, if we're not, friend, we're not going to succumb to this matter of the divine confrontation that God is going to bring. Amen. He sent them Moses. He sent Moses, His servant. Amen. Being their lawgiver, their magistrate. Amen. Lordship over them. And they could follow. And in, listen, in following Moses, they are naturally going to walk out of Egypt. Why is it so many in this day are stuck in worldly bondage? Because they're not following the lordship of Christ. They have refused Christ's leading Now he's Lord. We ain't talking about you making him anything. He is Lord. Almost said period, exclamation point. He's Lord. But my friend, if you're going to have freedom from the elements and the entanglements of this world, you got to learn how to let Jesus exercise and implement and bestow and give you direction in his leadership. Amen. Not only Moses, but Aaron. I love this element of this. Not only in Moses do we see lordship, amen, their lawgiver, their chief magistrate. What was Aaron? Aaron was their chief priest. He represented their worship. He represented the leader that would lead them in worship. They couldn't worship God. In fact, when Moses and Aaron showed up, Aaron said, "Let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness so that we can worship our God." And I say tonight, if you want God to free you from entanglement, free you from temptation, free you from something that has you bound tonight, amen, can I say you are going to have to learn something about true worship.
Amen.
See, we got it backwards. Boy, I want to preach here. I got to quit. I done told you I ain't going to finish. I'll finish next week. There's always another week. Why do tonight what we could do next Wednesday? Somebody help me. Amen. We got it all backwards. We think, boy, if I could get free, then I'd worship. But until you have freedom to worship, you'll never have freedom over this world. I love Psalm 23. He said he making me to rejoice in the presence of mine enemies. They worshiped their way out of the bondage they were under. It's exactly right. You go back, read Exodus tonight. Go read it. Read it between now and next Wednesday. Bible said they went out with a high hand. Amen. They went out with their hands up. Amen. They went out harnessed together. Amen. Worshiping their way out of the bondage they had been under. So you talk about working it up. I ain't talking about working it up. I'm talking about looking to God and saying, I'm submitting to your lordship and I will practice biblical worship in my life, trusting that my God will be faithful to break this thing that's in my life.
Amen.
Amen. Boy, that's good preaching tonight. Divine confrontation. What did God do? We see the servants God sent. We see the signs God showed. Verse 27 through 35. I'll knock it out in 20 seconds. Really, all he's doing here is recalling all the plagues God sent to Egypt. That was God's doings. That was God providing the power, showing that it didn't matter what hold Pharaoh and Egypt thought they had on the people of God. God was bigger, stronger, and more powerful to do what needed to be done for the people of God than Egypt could be in keeping them bound. Notice the strength that God smote. I love verse 36. I need 5 minutes to preach it. But he said he smote also all the firstborn in their land. What about the firstborn? Notice what he said, the chief of all their strength. He took their future away. Brother Jerry, I wrote it down this way. God broke any future strength Egypt may have sought to use in time to come to bind his people again. You see, when God makes you free, guess what? You're free indeed. Woo! I feel like shouting right there. Brother Mike, he broke their strength. He smote the strength of the Egyptians. I thought about this all those years. Egypt made Israel, the people of God, toss their male babies into the Nile River and drown them. All them years, amen, they had taken away what looked like to be the future hope and strength of the people of God. Now God comes through and God said, I'm going to put a stop to that. Amen. And in that 10th plague on that pass through night, amen, the angel of the Lord went through that angel of death. Amen. And you know the story, the blood, there was not a plague. Amen. The doorpost, the angel would go in and slay a firstborn throughout all the land. And that's what God did. God broke their strength over the people of God. Amen. I'm glad God knows how to divinely confront our enemy. God is faithful to free us. Notice the delivered congregation. I need 15 minutes. Preach verse 37, 38. The delivered congregation. We sing the destructive contention, the divine confrontation, the delivered congregation. I love this. You see, it was the Lord that brought them forth. If you're going to get victory over this world and its entanglements, you're going to need more than your own know-how, your own whatever, more than even your own determination. It's going to have to be God that brings you out. Is that what the book said? The Lord brought them forth. That is, He got them out and delivered them from bondage. So they are going to depart. That's what verse 38 said. Egypt was glad when they departed. When God got done with the hold the world had on them, even the world said, we're glad they're not a part of us anymore. We don't even want them around anymore. Let me say this, a few things about how they left this delivered congregation. I thought about this in verse 37. They left with treasures. They left with treasures. Is this helping anybody? Verse 37, He brought them forth also. Now these are slaves now. These are people that have just about had everything in life as far as physically worth having has been robbed from them. But when God set them free, the Bible said, He brought them forth with silver and gold. Now, I ain't got time to run all the references. You say, where'd they get all that? Amen. The Israelites came to the Egyptians and said, give us your silver and gold. And they said, whatever you want, just get out of the land.
Amen, sir.
Amen. I think about the fact they left with treasures. That is, they left with the blessings of God upon their life. Everything the world had robbed from them, God gave it back with interest. God made the world supply their trip from Egypt to Canaan. Oh, I feel like we ought to just park and shout a while. Hey man, fast forward, they're in the wilderness and Moses gets the instruction for the building of the tabernacle. He comes down and he says, Brother Jake, he said, now we need to take an offering around here. God said we're supposed to build him this house, and things are going to be overlaid with silver and with gold and with brass, and it's going to be immaculate. People said, hallelujah. How are we going to afford that? Moses said, y'all take all them blessings God give y'all. Y'all remember that night we walked out and Egypt just gave us all their, everything they had, just gave it. And the Bible said when they got done bringing their free will offering of all that it piled up so great, Brother Mike, Moses had to say, y'all stop. I don't need you to bring any more. We got more than we can use. And the value of that tabernacle, when you study it out, is absolutely amazing. God had blessed them, amen, in the freedom that He was giving them. He blessed them with treasures. I ain't talking about, it was literally for them financial silver and gold, but we got greater blessings in silver and gold tonight. We got treasures God gives us. Peace in our heart, joy in our soul, gladness. Amen. Eternal life, the Word of God, the ever-abiding presence of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God knows how, amen, to pour His blessings out ton by ton upon our life. Thank God they left with treasures. They left without tottering. Amen. You say, where you see that? Verse 37, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. These are people who had their back broke for hundreds and hundreds of years. Somehow in that bondage, Brother A.L., that night when God was going to set them free, Jehovah Rophi passed by and healed every back. Every back that had been beaten down that day, God healed it. Every bone that had been broken, God reset it. Every muscle that was cramped up from that hard day's work, Jehovah Rophi came by and gave them healing, and they walked out. Literally, the word feeble, amen, means tottering, it means stumbling, it means faltering. It's a word that indicates that one has an injured leg or a messed up ankle. They walked out absolutely with perfect strength, walking a straight line because God had miraculously set them free. Amen. See, when God sets you free, you quit your stumbling around. God sets you free, you quit your floundering up and down in your yo-yo Christianity. Amen. Some of us need that tonight. They left without tottering. They left with treasures. They left with testimony. Bible said Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. They left with testimony. You know what Egypt said? Egypt said, we can't put up with them no more. They're stronger than we are. Their God is greater than our God. And we better let them go. It's done cost us all our crops, all our fish, all our sanity. The lights have gone out. Our firstborns have died. And when Israel walked out with light. They walked out with strength. They walked out with their firstborns. They left with a testimony that they were indeed the children of God Almighty. See, when God sets us free from these things that entangle us in this life, you know what it does? He causes us to have a testimony that brings glory and honor to His name. Amen. Well, I'm done. Amen. I'm not done. I'm just quitting. All right.